Well, let me read a few of those words from Jesus, Matthew 7, in a more conventional take, possibly, just to get us back on page with this message today, this series that we're in, we're calling No Judgment. Don't judge, he says, so that you won't be judged. You'll receive the same judgment you give. Whatever you deal out will be dealt out to you. Now, we've been sort of building layer after layer of good news out of this teaching over the last few weeks. We started in week number one by saying everything depends on disciples who will learn from Jesus how to love like Jesus and live as Jesus would live if he were them. Everything depends on that. And such disciples, Jesus says, will resist a culture of division and judgment since we cannot love and judge others at the same time. You might say that's the big what that we're chasing down right now. What? Everything depends on what? Disciples who learn from Jesus how to love, how to live like Jesus. It's a really big deal. We talked in that week about how the love of Jesus has a particular shape to it. Theologians call it cruciform love. It's Jesus-shaped, cross-shaped love. We define that love sometimes in this way. This kind of love, cruciform love, is love that will ascribe worth to another at cost to oneself. That's what Jesus-looking love is like, and that's the love that we're called into. And Scripture frequently reminds us that the truest mark of all Christ followers is that kind of love. And I quoted Greg Boyd in week number one when he said, you can't love and judge at the same time. It's impossible to ascribe unsurpassable worth to another whenever you're using others to ascribe worth to yourself, to prop yourself up, to feel better about yourself. And so that was a great setup for this whole conversation. Last week, we added a little good news to that, another layer. I told you God's love is directed to us. It's dwelling in us. It's flowing through us, back to God, to others, to ourselves, to all of creation. And as we just sang together, as the much-loved children of God, we become an unstoppable source of his love that changes our world. This is what God has always dreamed. We call it our big dream. And it is the point of everything. In other words, that's why any of this matters. It's because this is what God is up to in the world. This is how we get in on it. This is the why. This is the what. And that's really good news. God is love. We give glory to God. I taught you last week when we choose to participate in that love. And so that brings me to another layer of good news that I want to spend our time on today. You might think of this as the how to all of it. How does that happen then? Well, good news, friends. There is no need to work harder or climb higher to get more love because we have all the love we can live in right now. We are learning to live in that love. So we practice love to become more loving. That's how all of this gets done. Now, first, let's just pause for a second and not skip over such good news there. How freeing is it that you don't have to work harder or climb higher to get more love? You have all the love you can live in right now. That no matter what else is true about you in this moment, and I know there are lots of other things true about all of us, nothing is more true than this. You are dearly loved by God right now, right where you are. Amen? That is amazing good news. We ought to be going nuts over that good news, right? If we had rafters, we should be swinging from them. That is so crazy good. All the love that you can handle. So that is freeing in the sense that I don't have to spend my one and only life trying to earn more of it. I've already got it. I don't have to spend my one and only life working hard to prove that I deserved it because I have it whether I deserve it or not. I'm off the hook for that. And by the way, much of the trouble in this world is people like us trying to do exactly those two things. Work harder to prove we deserve it, work harder to earn it, to make up for some way in which we didn't work hard enough before. And I'm here to tell you, friends, good news today, we can get over that assignment. You are free to rest today in the love of God. Rest in the love of God. That's a game changer. Now, what would it look like if you really decided to do that this year? I'm just going to rest in the love of God that's already mine. Well, that's exactly what I want to spend a few minutes on today. How would that happen for you? I was having a text conversation with a friend last week that brought a question to my mind for you, actually. Does anybody in here have a health goal for 2024? I mean, this is the month of the year that we set all those goals, right? And sometimes they're about health, how to get healthier, look better, feel better, whatever. Anybody have a health goal for the year? Put your hands up, anybody, honestly. A few of us do, all right? Anybody want to go on record with your health goal? I know that's a little vulnerable. You might not want to share it with the whole group. And it also feels like it builds in accountability. But just in case you want to do that, anybody want to throw in? Yes, Jerry, what are you working on? Thank you.
My A1C level.
Ooh, A1C level. Spoken like somebody who knows what he's talking about. A1C level needs to do what?
It needs to go down to under 7.
Ooh, okay. So it's got to get better. In this case, A1C needs to go down. Okay, so he's working on that. He's got a plan for that this year. Thank you, Jerry, for breaking the ice. Anybody else want to get honest now that Jerry's in the pool? Jump in. Anybody? I didn't know if I'd get any takers, but I'm just giving you a chance. Yeah, Brenda.
Lose weight.
Lose weight. Okay, anybody want to join Brenda in the lose weight goal? Yeah, there are a few of us probably. It's also that time of the year where we're struggling with those holiday pounds a little bit, right? Like, they got to go. Anybody else? I'll pause just for another moment. Thank you for helping out. Health goal for the year. Oh, right over here. Alexis.
Looks like
mental health in general. Yeah. Yes, that's another important component of health we don't often think about, right? You say health, we automatically go physical health. But there's also mental health and emotional health and spiritual health and all other kinds of ways that we can flourish. So good for you. Go, Alexis. Well, listen, back to my conversation with my friend. He was sending me pics of all of the healthy food, delicious-looking healthy food that he has been cooking lately, and he was telling me how many pounds he's lost so far and how many pounds he plans to use before spring vacation and all of this sort of stuff. And so I texted back to him, that's awesome. I'm really thrilled for you. And I was. And then I put in parentheses, and a lot jealous. I'm just over here choosing what I want more. Which 2 minutes ago was a little Debbie Valentine cake. No lie. I'm like, your timing's terrible, Jeremiah. I mean, friend. But I'm like, yay, go Jay. So I don't know if his timing was terrible or maybe my timing was terrible because maybe it's always a bad time in January to eat a little Debbie Valentine cake. I don't know. But the rest of the story behind that is that for the first time in a long time, I've been feeling a little nudge to get actionable about my health. Since 2018, seems like I've had a really hard time finding any mental or emotional or even time margin for that, you know? Like after all the energy was expended dealing with all of the chaos and crisis and so forth, I just felt like I had nothing left over. Anybody ever been there? Yeah? And so, or at least that's the story I've told myself. And so I had actually already gone back to my photo library and found a skinnier version of me from 2018 and saved it. You can't really see it from there, but it looks good. On my wallpaper, my phone. I'm like, oh yeah, that's that guy. Less weight, less hair. Might not lose the beard, but I do need to lose a little of this, you know? And so I thought, I'm just going to put that on there for a while, just so every time I pick up my phone, I can remember that's what that guy looked like. So I'd gotten that far. And the truth is, I already know everything I need to know to do the next thing, right? It's not my lack of knowledge that's a problem, right? I know eat fewer calories, exercise more. It's not rocket science. The actual problem is putting my wanter on the table. Do I really want that more than I want something else? Do I really want little O'Brien or little Debbie? And the truth is, Greg, I'm not sure yet. Depends on the moment, you know what I'm saying? And I'm quite aware that is my sticking point. And it doesn't do a lot of good for me to come up with a plan to practice something if my wanter has not been addressed first. If I decide that I want little O'Brien more, and I'm going to stick with that, Then I can figure out some things like calories and exercise and how are those going to happen and so forth. I take what I know and see could happen, and I go with what I've chosen I really want, and I start to practice that every day, and over time, it will show up, and it will be on the outside, and now I've gotten really vulnerable because you're all going to be watching. No judgment. Change happens. And in fact, I think that's how all change happens, honestly, is with that little process. And so if we're somewhat committed, and I hope we're wholly committed, to the what and the why, that this big dream that we believe God's given us, we didn't come up with it, we just have some words to capture it, that his people are designed to be an unstoppable source of his love that floods all of creation. If that's what he's up to, if that's why it matters, in other words, and this is what needs to happen, then we need those people to learn from Jesus how to love like Jesus and live as Jesus. That's what needs to happen. Let's talk about how that might happen for us, for you, for our church family in 2024. Paul, the apostle, kind of lays out a similar story to the one I just shared with you. He says, don't you know that all the runners in the stadium run, but only one gets the prize? So run to win. Everyone who competes practices self-discipline in everything. The runners do this to get a crown of leaves that shrivel up and die. We do it to receive a crown that never dies. So this is how I run, not without a clear goal in sight. I'm fighting like a boxer in the ring, not somebody who's shadow boxing. In other words, something that's not really nailed down. It's nailed down. I'm landing punches on my own body and subduing it like a slave. I do this to be sure I myself won't be disqualified after preaching to others. Let me just walk you through what he laid out there. He starts by perceiving the prize, by saying, I see the prize out there. He says only one can get the prize. Run to win. We do it to receive a crown that never dies. This is how I run, not without a clear goal in sight. In other words, with a clear goal in sight. He's noticed and named the prize. It is fully known to him. Friends, I know we beat this drum a lot, but it's so essential. This is the first step in any change operation. It is the first skill in the spiritual life. It's why it's the first practice on our 10 practices. I notice and name God at work in and around me. The cliche says, if you can't see it, you can't be it. And it's true. You have to have your eyes open. You have to have some spiritual awareness. Sometimes we say, we have to wake up, and so forth. We have all kinds of language to describe this idea of I finally see the prize. I see what God wants for me. I see what could happen. And in case you're unclear, and you're probably not if you're part of our church family, Paul reminds us frequently what the greatest prize is. In fact, these are some of the most beautiful words ever written in any language. He says, if I speak in tongues of human beings and angels, but I don't have love, I'm a clanging gong or a clashing cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, I know all the mysteries and everything else. And if I have such complete faith, I can move mountains. But I don't have love, I'm nothing. If I give away everything I have, I hand over my own body to feel good about what I've done, but I don't have love, I receive no benefit whatsoever. In other words, nothing's really changing. Now, faith, hope, and love remain these three things, and the greatest of these is what, church? And I have good news for you. There is no need for you to work harder or climb higher to get more of that love because you've got all the love you can live in right now. We're just learning to live in that love, and so we practice love to become more loving. Love, living in love, is the prize for followers of Jesus, and nothing is more impressive in the spiritual life than watching somebody become a more loving person. Amen? That is the goal. You got to see that prize. It's got to draw your heart so you can then put your wanter on the table, which is what Paul talks about also in that passage. He says, don't you know all the runners in the stadium run, but only one gets the prize, the one that wants it? Run to win. In other words, if you want it, run. And then he implies it again when he says, I'm landing punches on my own body. I'm subduing it like a slave, Why does he do this? To be sure I won't be disqualified after preaching to others. In other words, I know what I don't want, to be disqualified, to be a hypocrite. So in other words, I know what I do want. I want to finish well. Paul has his wanter on the table. It's our second practice for becoming because it's the second thing that always happens if something transformative goes on in your life. I choose what I want more. And sometimes that means I've got to be honest about the competing desires, good, bad, or ugly, whatever they are, put them out there. I also want the Little Debbie Valentine cake and Lisa's chocolate chip Biscoff cookie from the Welcome Center. I have one on hold in the tech booth. Just being honest about what I want. And the truth is, change always moves in the direction of the truth, and there's nothing better you can do than get honest with yourself about what's really going on, even if you don't really like that or it doesn't feel particularly flattering to you. Amen? At least get real about it. Friends, I got good news for you today. You are free from climbing higher to get more love, working harder to prove you deserve love. You've got all the love you could possibly live in right now, freely available to you. The only challenge we have is learning to live in that love. And in order to become more loving, we're going to have to practice love. That's simply how this works, if living in love is the prize you want. You see, once you see it, and once you choose it and say, that's what I want, now you're ready to do it. Now, as we say around here, it gets real. Practice what you want. That's all we have to do. Paul says again, everybody who competes practices self-discipline in everything. And he goes back to this boxer in the ring thing, and I'm landing punches on my body and subduing it like a slave. Man, this guy's taking extreme action. Why is he so extreme? Because he saw the prize, and he wants the prize. And he'll practice till the cows come home if that's what he has to do to get it. This is serious business for him. And he must realize, don't miss this, God isn't going to do this without him. He's not going to do this without his participation. He's striving and giving himself to it. So think about it like this. Love is a gift. We got to decide to live in that love. That love can be an available gift all day long if we don't decide, I'm getting in on that. I'm just going to start living like that's actually true. In the spiritual life, we call this surrendering to God's love, our third practice over here, that's when change gets real. When I take what I know, and I've decided what I want, and I actually start doing something with it out here. See, sometimes the way we talk about surrender in the church is that, like, surrender is something that just happens in our heads. No way, friends. Surrender happens in our bodies. We actually put ourselves into the game in some way. That's what surrender looks like. I live like it's actually true. If I could just believe, there's no need to work harder. No need to climb higher. I got all the love I can live in right now. That's the first hurdle for all of us. Maybe for some of us in this room today. And once I see that, I get to choose, is that what I want? Do I want the rest of my one and only life to be devoted to that more than anything else? I'm going to learn to live in that kind of love. Then we can help you with some practices to become more loving, and that is how we get the prize, living in love. That's how it works. Like most things, like losing weight, it's not all that complex to figure out. The concept's simple. The complexity and difficulty is in doing it, right? And often that's in starting. Just get the ball rolling, get a little momentum or whatever, right? If I want to become Littler Brian this year, I'm going to have to practice more daily steps and fewer Little Debbies. I know the prize. I can see it. It's right here. I just have to choose it and surrender to it. And if I do, it'll get real and you'll know. And you're not going to know by next Sunday, so don't start with me. It all takes time, doesn't it? But when change happens, it always shows up on the outside eventually. And the same thing is true when you decide to become a more loving person. I'm going to live loved. It won't show up immediately on the outside, but it'll be unmistakable eventually on the outside. Everyone will know something has changed with that guy or gal. And friends, that's beautiful. What's the greatest prize you're chasing in 2024? I might go for little O'Brien. I'll keep you posted. I'm definitely going for more loving Brian. It's my greatest prize. Do you see, friend? I love when Carol was talking and she said, in this church, we talk about this a lot, that we're loved by God. You are a much loved child of God. Do you see that? Are you willing to embrace that? Do you trust that is true of you more than anything else? All the love you could possibly want is available for you to live in right now. Amazing. Can you imagine what the world would be like if every human being knew that and lived that way? You never had to put somebody else down to feel better about you. You never had to put yourself above somebody else to feel better than them because you're just as loved as they are, whether they know it yet or not, and we're all just living loved. Now, I know that sounds a little bit like utopia or something. My friends, I think that's the big dream of God, is that someday everybody would live fully free in the love of God, and none of this other positioning and posturing would ever be necessary again. No judgment. Isn't that a beautiful picture? You know what? Jesus invites us to get in on that picture right now. Do you want to live loved? Do you want to be part of a world like that, where you freely give that love away to everybody you come into contact with because you believe they have unsurpassable worth to God, and you don't have to qualify them with some kind of judgment to make yourself feel better or worse than them. They don't have to work at it or earn it. They are loved. Now, they may have to work out and learn living loved just like we do, and that may be difficult and there may be challenges along the way, but it'll never be because we have to prove we deserve love. We got that. Will you practice loving others the way God loves you? Because if you do, it'll get real, and we'll become human again in the way God always dreamed. And it might be a good time for me to offer a quick sidebar. Spring groups are starting, and that's where we equip you with the tools to help. So if you're looking for a practice regimen, you see it and you want it, a group might help you actually figure out how to practice it and get it, all right? But I think there's something we can practice before we go right now, and I'm going to invite you to join me in that. Would you bow your heads for a couple of moments of prayer and reflection, and then we'll let you get out of here. I want you to think right now, this probably won't be hard, of somebody particularly difficult for you to love. Boom, there it is. Somebody particularly difficult for you to love. Maybe even you would describe them as an enemy. Just get that face in your mind for a moment, and I want you to remember that person is just as much loved by God as you are. In his kingdom, there's no need for us to divide ourselves over and against each other. You're free to bless them. You're freed by love to bless them, even your enemies. Now, that's often hard to work out in real life, but it's something I think we're always invited to pray for. And so I'm going to invite you right now to pray something, a blessing for that hard-to-love person in your life, something good for them, something someone loved would pray for someone who is loved. Put some actual words to that prayer. Father, we may need help in this room today. Lord, maybe our sticking point is not being able to truly accept and believe the love that you have for us. Maybe there's something in us that has so much regret that it becomes resistance. And we're determined to hold you at arm's length. Lord, I pray that you'd give us the grace to just let you in. Father, maybe we're not sure what we really want. Maybe we're struggling with the ways we'd have to give, some things we'd have to give up, ways our life would probably have to change. if we picked love. Lord, again, give us the grace. At least we can see it and name it and let you meet us in that reality with no judgment. Just a constant invitation to join you. Or Father, maybe some of us simply need help putting together a plan, taking steps, getting some tools. Then help us to see the next right thing, Lord, to help with that. And for all of these people, Lord, that we're thinking of right now, who are some of the difficult to love ones, give us wisdom about how to love them, even when sometimes we have to set boundaries that protect ourselves. Lord, help us to figure out how to pray, to speak words of love, to be present in love in whatever opportunities you may present. Lord, more than anything, in our own hearts and lives, I pray that love would be the first thing that comes to mind for them. Transform us this year, Lord. Make us into your likeness. May we be your hands and feet in this community and in this world. And everywhere we show up, God, I pray that your love will walk into the room. We ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody said,